Radio Chaser, brought to you by Hats. Wear them on your head. Hats.
Sydney, a city of coffee, beer, wine, and fear. Mainly the fear that drinking so much coffee, wine, and beer was a bad idea. It's to cities what hangovers are to drinking. But we love it. So sit back and take the ultimate cure. 1 hour of pure, uncut Radio Chaser.
Welcome to the program. Yes, heaps happening here on Radio Chaser. Today we have product recalls courtesy of Craig Rucastle, keeping you safe. And there are some that aren't strawberries, I think, really, today.
Yes, some aren't strawberries.
And also tips to stay healthy. Andrew Hansen is personally going to save your life. That's coming up on the program as well.
First, you might want to stick around for that one.
If you want. I mean, it's not appointment viewing or anything. But
I hope I end up as pale and pallid as he normally is.
If you can live long enough to hear Andrew Hansen, you may well live forever. But look, first, let's talk about the incredible ongoing controversy in the Liberal Party and the government to do with women. Another woman has come forward and claimed bullying and Sid Marlis. That's three of them now.
If I were the Liberals, I'd be a little bit worried because I think they might actually be running out of women.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't know they had three women in the Liberal Party these days. But no, there are, and they're all leaving. They're all out of there. Julie Bishop's, of course, pretty much out of there, very unhappy. And look, it's just not looking good. I suppose if you're a woman coming up through the Liberal Party, maybe choose a different career.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, if they lose many more women there, there'll be as few women as there are on Radio Chaser.
Oh, that'd be a bad situation then, wouldn't it?
No one would want that. But look,
horrible.
Coming up, all to do the Wentworth by-election as well. Karen Phelps is running. Malcolm Turnbull's writing a book about how he's backstabbed. The whole party is just falling apart.
But Dom, I think we've got some secret footage, don't we?
We've got some audio. And look, there's been a lot of talk about the women problem that the Liberal Party has. Mm. The good news is that there is a women's committee in the Liberal Party. They're the ones who've been charged by Scott Morrison with fixing the problem. And look, based on this leaked audio, I think they've got it well in hand.
I call this meeting at the Liberal Party Women's Committee to order.
Sorry, why is the chair of the Women's Committee a man?
Well, the Liberal Party is a meritocracy. We choose the best candidate for the job, who happens to always be a man.
But it's the Women's Committee.
You don't want a token position just because you're a woman, do you?
Well, no.
It would be disrespectful to women if they didn't become chairman on merit. As the Women's Committee, we wouldn't be in favour of that.
I see.
Okay, we've got a report from the Women's Backbench Liaison Officer, Dave.
Yep. Look, another woman has come forward and said she was bullied.
Oh, I don't believe it. I said we'd take away her seat if she said anything.
So did I.
I did too.
This is so wrong.
Can you not interrupt?
This is absurd. I'm resigning.
Righto, that frees up a space for Trevor. He's perfect for the Women's Committee.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
And another day, another scandal from the Royal Commission into banking.
Who would have thought that the banks were dodgy?
What's the latest one? So the AMP has been caught, you'll never guess, charging dead customers again.
This is like an industry-wide thing.
It's like they've got so many living customers that they've got to actually extend into dead customers.
To be fair, just to defend the banks, right? They have had zero complaints from dead people about the charging.
That is true.
If only one of them had brought to their attention.
Well, actually, you say that, Craig, but there's actually a dead customer on the line now wanting to complain about being charged by the AMP.
And the interesting thing about this current scandal is that it's actually about life insurance. So they've been charging dead people life insurance. And they actually had to point out, the counsel assisting, like the lawyer for the Royal Commission, actually had to question AMP and make them understand that the point of life insurance is to insure the living, not the dead.
And these were premiums for life insurance?
That's right.
Where there was no longer a life to insure.
That's right.
Look, it's a good point. It is a good point. And no wonder this dead customer is so steamed up and called the only program that will listen, Radio Chaser. Hello, are you there?
Ooh, yes, I'm here, Dominic Knight. I really didn't expect my mobile phone would work up here. But the reception is heavenly.
Are you a ghost going, ooh, or are you eating something?
I'm eating manna from heaven.
So how do you feel, Ghost, if I may call you that, how do you feel about the fact that AMP kept charging for life insurance after you were dead?
I'm furious. I thought hardly any banks do that. I mean, I thought no banks did that except for Westpac, Commonwealth Bank, Allianz and NAB. That's why I went with AMP.
So you're angry about the bank's insurance, are you, Ghost Man?
Well, kind of, but by having their life insurance, I did get a 10% discount on my travel insurance to the afterlife.
So Mr. Ghost, if it's not a personal question, how did you die?
Like many people, I was waiting on hold to my bank. It was quite ironic, actually. I was phoning to cancel my life insurance, so I'm lucky I died when I did.
And what is it like in the afterlife?
Well, I'm not there. I'm in purgatory, actually. I used to live in Hornsby, and it's very similar.
What's the background of your accent there?
Yeah. I think I recognise your voice. Were you in Are You Being Served? because I think you're quite a famous person. Am I right if I picked it?
I don't know what you're talking about, Dominic.
Now, look, if being
you
a star,
act, then perhaps you could play the ghost.
Being a star yourself, evidently. Are there many Australian celebrities there with you in purgatory?
No. Australian celebrities have their own purgatory. It's a Logie ceremony that never ends.
Oh, my God, that sounds like hell.
Oh, no, in hell, Richard Wilkins is hosting.
Yeah, that figures.
What's the worst part about being dead, Mr. Ghost, apart from your shifting accent?
The worst part? What accent does a ghost have? I don't know. The worst part about the worst part about the banks charging me life insurance when I'm dead is, well, it's very hard to get revenge on them, you see.
How's that?
Well, because I can't get to them. I'm in purgatory and everyone in the banks are in hell.
Well, look, at least they're getting punished, I suppose, Mr. Ghost.
No, they're not really. They've gone into senior management of hell because it's very similar to the senior management of the bank. Anyway, I've got to go. Ooh, it's my turn to do pottery with Demi Moore.
Yeah, I think that reference is more dead than the ghost. Thank you very much, Ghost of Uncertain Accent. Radio Chaser here. Now, look, after our last interview with a ghost, you're probably thinking, how can I not die and appear in a Radio Chaser sketch? Well, fortunately, Andrew Hansen has plenty of tips to keep you young and healthy and not a ghost.
That's right. Just, if you want to stay alive, well, listen to these tips. It's actually a form of a quiz, so I'm going to test you guys out. I'm going to test our panel of Dom, Charles and Craig. Now, Charles. Charles, if you want to look younger, what should your pillowcase be made of? Sandpaper? Worm cocoons? Or young people's blood?
Well, I think sandpaper would be too painful. I don't think that's
how he got his current face.
Yeah, you could get suspended from cricket for a year if you had that.
And young people's blood is clearly just a joke. So it's, what was the middle one? Something
worm cocoons.
Worm cocoons. You are correct, Mr. Bird. It's worm cocoons. Specifically silkworms. Yeah. Silkworms. I mean, you've got to sleep on a silk pillowcase. This is recommended, right, by skin doctors because whereas a cotton pillow apparently kind of sucks the moisture out of your face.
Really?
Yeah,
that explains why I'm so beautiful because I always have a silk pillowcase. That's why I have such an amazing.
No, you misunderstood me. I said you're beautiful when you have a silk pillowcase over your head.
Oh,
Charles.
Right. Okay.
That keeps us happy.
All right. Can I take it off?
No, for God's sake, please get it off.
Till I get this noose over your head.
Yeah, thank God. Oh, you're lucky you're listening to radio, let me tell you. Dommy.
Yep.
What should you put in your tummy to combat disease?
Oh.
Dog poo, baby poo, or young people's blood?
I think I'm going to go with baby poo. Because I'm hoping
you're right. You're absolutely right. Oh. And you and I are very lucky as the fathers of babies or toddlers. Yeah.
I deal with that stuff about three times a day.
Well, you should be stuffing it into your gob. Don't throw out that dirty nappy. That is the key to
precious
health, according to these scientists. They mice resisted illness after feasting on dirty nappies.
Oh,
some scientists found.
God,
yeah.
There are things that I'm probably willing to die earlier to avoid. Otherwise, if not, you guys can sell us some. I guess
I got to say, having just put the rubbish out last night with lots of little bits of nappy and stuff, it's quite a smell. I can see where they like it.
It is, isn't it? But imagine having that for your breakfast smoothie. I mean, this is the key.
I bet you Chaz does.
Yeah. I've often had to experience that smell during breakfast, actually. Rather ruins the meal.
Well, that's one of them. Now, Craig, last question goes to you. Yes. What should old people inject into themselves to combat disease?
I bet I can guess one of the answers.
One of the answers is young people's blood. Right, or dog poo or worm cocoons.
So what should old people inject into themselves?
Yeah, to fight illness.
I'm going to go with young person blood.
Yeah, you are correct.
Yes.
You're absolutely correct.
Excellent.
As if millennials have not been screwed over enough yet. This is absolutely true. A study from a British uni says that if you inject the blood of young people into you, it could prevent age-related disease. And there's a guy, one of the guys who started PayPal has actually got this company called Ambrosia, which is doing this. It's testing out injecting old people with blood from 16 to 25-year-olds.
God, this is really going to piss off the millennials. They're like, we can't buy a house, and now you're just stealing my blood.
Are they paid in avocados? But look, what this means is that every vampire movie that I've seen is actually correct. Hundreds of years old, like 1,000-year-old vampires feasting on young women's blood, that keeps you going.
Yeah, and they're into it. Young people love Twilight. So what are they complaining about? All right. Well, my ultimate tip, though, the final way that I can suggest to stay healthy, avoid strawberries.
Radio Chaser on Triple M. Now, Craig, Charles and Andrew, this morning I got up and I wanted to get dressed.
Rare morning for you.
And I realised that about 10 weeks after moving house, I still haven't unpacked any of my clothes. So my system for getting dressed in the morning is to go sifting through about 3 or 4 different cardboard boxes that are just full of jumbled, completely not folded or anything like that, clothes. And it just made me realise, that's pretty weird, right? Like 10 weeks later, I still haven't bothered setting up my wardrobe.
Well, Dom, if you're as lazy as you are, then it's not weird at all.
But it's actually harder work to find some clothes that actually match. Like find the second sock. It's not easy.
So what you're saying is you should actually, out of laziness, do a whole big cleanup. Because then it'll enable you to be more lazy.
Well, I think most people would do that equation and understand that it's an investment in every morning not having to rummage through a box. But I'm still 10 weeks later. That's pretty bad.
It's that bad. It's not that hard. I mean, all you do is take the clothes and put them on the floor. That's where I got my clothes from.
I should try that. But I mean, it is often hard to unpack. I mean, we've got a lot going on. Yeah. And I guess some people would have things unpacked for longer than 10 weeks.
Absolutely, I do. I moved 6 months ago, and I still haven't unpacked everything. You know, I mean, there are things you just don't really need that often, and, you know, they're happy to leave them in a box.
Well, I beat both of you, because I once moved into a house, and 3 years later we moved out again, and we still had boxes that we hadn't even looked at. And we actually decided at that point, anything that we actually haven't opened at all is just being chucked out.
I once had a t-shirt and I hung it outside on this balcony, and it was kind of around the corner in this apartment. And then the rental lease ended about 2 years later. I was cleaning up the whole place, peeked around that corner, and the t-shirt was still there.
It must be very dry.
It was brittle. I was able to snap a piece of it. So, you know, you don't need everything, do you?
No, I think most of the stuff you put in boxes you should get rid of. You just never open it up. I think Charles' approach is the correct one.
I just regret leaving my son in one of those boxes.
could you snap? Was he brittle? Could you snap a piece off?
We want to hear from people who still haven't unpacked after weeks, months, years.
Can you beat 3 years
of not moving? Yeah. Can you beat that 1-3-3-5-3? Maybe there's something essential that you just can't be bothered unpacking. You're going to get around to it next week, and that was, you know, 5 years ago. 1-3-3-5-3. Tales of very, very lazy moving unpacking. We want to hear your story. Here's Greta Van Fleet on Triple M Highway Tune Radio Chase with you. 1-3-3-5-3. What have you just left in the moving box for ages? Give us a call. Let's go to Nicole in Narellan. Hey, Nicole.
Hey.
Tell us your story about not unpacking things.
Yeah, I haven't unpacked my boxes, and I'm coming on closer to 7 years now.
Six or 7 years. Well done.
7 years.
That's like five prime ministers.
You know what? It's actually three states as well. I did New South Wales, Queensland to Victoria, back to New South Wales, and they're still not unpacked.
You know, did you have any idea? Do you think there's any? What's actually in there?
A lot of them are resources from an old job, but there's also boxes of clothes. And just things that I haven't actually used and need to get rid of.
Do you realise that 6 years ago, Julia Gillard was our Prime Minister?
Sorry, who's that?
This is how old this stuff is.
But since then, I think we've had 20,000 Prime Ministers.
Exactly. You should go back. Are you willing to just ditch this stuff without opening it?
Most of it, that's exactly what will happen.
Yeah.
I'll just go.
Right. How long? Another 6 years?
All right.
No, I'm building up to get rid of it. I've now got my hands on a trailer. So.
Okay, well, look, by the next time Tony Abbott's Prime Minister, you should have gotten rid of them. Let's go to Greg and Nina, both of them on the line. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
How many years have you had your stuff unpacked?
Eight.
8 years?
Eight.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sometimes with my husband, mostly we miss our Jaffel maker. My cappuccino maker is still in the box.
You miss your chef. I love the way you actually miss something there. You just can't be asked getting it out of the box.
That's great.
So who's at fault?
Quite a few boxes. I can't find which box.
She's Italian, so she's got to have a copy.
Ah, yeah. Well, she's been done pretty well to go without it for 8 years.
Yeah, must be tired.
That's all right.
I buy a cappuccino at the shop.
Yeah, that's a good system. Own a coffee machine, have it in a box, and buy an espresso every day. That's very cost efficient. That's very funny. All right, look, are you thinking maybe tomorrow you should do this? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I'm stand on the weekend.
My wife's presents tomorrow. Tomorrow will never come.
All right, excellent. Fair enough. Karen's on the line. Hey, Karen.
Yes.
How long since you haven't unpacked?
10 years.
10 years.
Double figures.
Nice. 10 years.
What's in the boxes?
I really have no idea. I'm pretty sure that there's clothes in there. It was that mad scramble when we moved, and I just put them in a box that went into a wardrobe, and that's where they've stayed. Every time I open up the wardrobe, I think I really must do something about this.
That's the story of my life. I've always got boxes in the wardrobe that I haven't unpacked since the last move.
I know.
The thing is, this is actually why you need to move again. It's the only time you'll ever look at it if you move again. Sell your house just so you can get through the boxes.
Whatever I find.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you very much, Karen. That's fantastic. Thanks, Karen. Guys, I'm just thinking, this made me think maybe I should throw out my HSC box. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, probably now's the time.
Yeah. 23 years.
Now, domain.com.au, Charles, has a pretty extraordinary... Oh, no, we get it.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, now let's do the domain game, which is the greatest game on earth, guys.
Are you overselling it?
I just made it up, which is... so Domain has some story
this
today.
This is the Sydney Morning Herald thing.
The
property section.
Their property section, which used to just be a section in the newspaper, right, which had little classified ads for houses, right? It's now by far the biggest part of the Herald.
That's right.
It's like every story on the Herald.
And the point is that they always, every single day, they run stories which have nothing to do with property except some incredibly tenuous link. What's the one today? There's one today.
I saw one today actually with Serena Williams, right?
Yes.
So they linked to the fact that she had this whole scandal week. And it was like their link was that... And also her house price had gone down because she's selling a house.
So celebrity gossip with a very tidy real estate. And did you see the bit where they went, oh, and there's an Australian link, there's an Antipodean link, because the real estate agent lived in Auckland for 1 year?
Oh, that's... I tell you what.
It's like he's one of us.
Oh, man, they've linked it to housing and an Australian link. Yeah. That's great.
Anyway, so we're going to play the domain game, which involves... I'm going to give you a random news story which has nothing to do with real estate. Yes. And you have to come up with the headline or the concept that the domain would use to link it to get it on their site. First one is the Game of Thrones television series has just won the top Emmy for best drama.
Yes.
How do you link, Andrew? How do you link that?
Right. What's the domain headline?
Yeah. What's the domain headline?
Something like I'd say, auction clearances in the Riverlands down 13% since Red Wedding.
I like it.
Surely, I've domained it.
Game of Homes, wouldn't it be? Wouldn't they have something about all the how Peter Dinklage has just bought a really huge house and just subtly implying that that's ironic?
Yeah, Dinklage wins, didn't he? Because he won an Emmy, didn't he?
Yeah,
Dinklage
wins
Emmy and leads Small Houses Movement.
Are you allowed to say that?
Next one. Apple has released its latest software update for its phone.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's like the only other story the Sydney Morning Herald runs.
That's true, actually.
You're not going to say something about the home key, are you?
Oh, great. Hey. I've got one about Tim Cook. The CEO of Apple's probably got an incredibly expensive iPad somewhere in California. The Bachelor iPad, no?
The Bachelor,
Come on, we're doing domain headlines, not good headlines.
Look, Apple's got a new software update and it's perfect for running the domain app so you can beat off over apartment trend graphs.
That's true. Surely the only thing that they link is that new Apple phone comes out, finally something more expensive than Sydney property prices.
That's actually true.
That's right.
Okay, and last one, Sam Burgess has broken his silence over the Rabbitohs sexting scandal.
How do you link to sexting? Yeah. I know it is. Okay. Well, presumably right now his wife's kicked him out of bed, so it would be something about Burgess looking for extra room in his house.
That's good.
Just a bit of a warning for people. I've just been looking again at things that have been recalled by the government because of danger. Mm. Okay, the first one here, I was like, oh, finally this has been recalled. This is Scandinavian Tobacco Group. They've recalled some cigarettes.
Ah.
Darum Barley High cigarettes. I was like, finally. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
They discovered cigarettes are dangerous. They're going to recall them.
Oh, yeah. Finally. What about all the millions of Australians who smoke Scandinavian cigarettes? I mean, they'll be left out.
And it turns out there's only one little thing wrong with these ones, and that's that the cigarettes do not self-extinguish, posing a serious fire hazard. So the rest is fine.
Oh, right.
The rest is fine.
Right.
Keep going. Compare that, though, to this eyeliner, right? You might think cigarettes would be more dangerous. Let's just go through this eyeliner. If you have some Hashmi Kajal, Hashmi Tube, or Hashmi Surma eyeliner out there, there are a couple of problems with it, right?
Mm.
It contains high concentrations of lead. Poisoning can occur after a single exposure, and this is the symptoms you can get. Acute lead poisoning, muscle pain, fatigue, abdominal pain, headache, nausea, vomiting, seizures, and coma.
Mm.
Irritability, lack of energy, loss of appetite, learning disabilities, behavioural problems, poor coordination, and impaired growth.
Oh, my God. Dommy, you must be wearing this product every day.
I'm surprised. You've got to hand it to lead, though, as a product.
Yeah, like,
it does so much. Putting lead on your eyes leads to abdominal pain.
It has some real payback, doesn't it?
Just on the cigarette story, do you think it's sensible, heading into bushfire season, to be advising firebugs which brand they can buy and check out the window? But, oh, I thought it would extinguish itself.
That's true, Dommy. It's fine, but as long as they use this eyeliner, though, they won't be able to do anything to actually do it. But we do have one later warning, though, from the government that asked us to play. It's very important.
The Australian Consumer Regulator has issued a recall on the following product.
Hi, we sell sewing needles here in Australia, but it has been brought to our attention that a disgruntled member of the public is tampering with our products and covering them with strawberries. If you try to use our sewing needles while they are in a strawberry, you may wet your clothing or even create stains.
If you find your sewing needle covered in a strawberry, do not sew with it. Return it to the store for a full refund.
This is Radio Chaser on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
Cat's pyjamas or
cat's piss.
Now, you probably think that Elon Musk is the world's wackiest inventor. Well, there's one person who can challenge that title. His name is Fu Zhenlin. He's a part-time inventor, and he has invented a crab-like android that you can sit on and be kind of walked around. If you think that human legs are a bad way of getting around, a robot crab that transports you around the city.
You sit on it. It's just a mode of transport.
It is. And okay. The article here says two of his friends have a go at driving the robot in this video. It appears to be jittery and hard to control.
Do you have to be an evil supervillain to be allowed to drive it?
That's a very good question. Would you like to get around town, though, on a robot crab rather than a car or your feet?
Well, do you have to walk sideways?
Yeah.
Is this one of the issues because it's a crab?
Absolutely. I think that'd be very, which means you get a very cricked neck by the end of the day because you have to constantly be turned sideways to see where you're going.
It really irritating going window shopping. Well, I gotta look to the left to get this.
This for me is cat's pajamas because you know how when you're in a bike or something with wheels, you know if somebody is in front of you, you just have to run them over if you want to get past them.
That's how it works. Or
go around them. Whereas with a crab, you could sort of climb over them.
Scuttle over the top of them.
Yeah.
The good thing is as well, if you want to bury yourself very quickly, you can do it quite
sand.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Very nice. Moving on here, a man at the end of the Lisa's Fish and Chip Shop has painted on his sign in very large letters, "Greedy Landlord." Is that a good way to resolve disputes with your landlord just by shaming them in public? Cat's pajamas or cat's piss?
Well, this depends whether you think being greedy is an insult or maybe it was the renter thought that, being greedy was good and it was just a sort of advertisement.
I think it's a great idea. You should always do that. Just write that when you get kicked out of a place.
If you're thinking of renting this place next.
The only power that renters have in Australia is to really go, you know what? This guy's an arsehole.
I know, but isn't it sort of, you assume that if they're a landlord, they're going to be a greedy arsehole anyway?
You think it should be the opposite? If you have a nice one, score on the back of the face, great landlord.
Yeah.
You punish them by
even though they kicked me out of this place, they're genuinely lovely people to deal with.
Yeah, look, cat's pajamas. I think it's great. I mean, are you sure this isn't just the name of the restaurant, though? Are you sure? Because it's just a big sign, right, on the front of the shop. I mean, there are a lot of Chinese restaurants called the Greedy Landlord.
Yeah, it actually sounds rather hipster. I can
That's
imagine
true.
A cafe.
Yeah, or a pub,
I would have cold drip coffee at Greedy Landlords.
Radio Chaser, brought to you by Hats. Just like shoes, but for your head. Hats.